And now to Iran's neighbor, Iraq. Many U.S. soldiers now posted there have taken time off from their regular jobs to serve in the war. They are military reservists and, in some cases, career police officers and firefighters. One of them is 38-year-old Dan Marr of the New York City Police Department. He was born and raised in Queens and spent last year as a drill sergeant training new Iraqi privates, or jundis. Marr taught combat techniques and how to set up and monitor checkpoints. From time to time, he called reporter Marianne McCune to tell her how it was going.
I'm sitting in a 7-foot by 3-foot plywood crate, apparently, that's been sort of converted into a foam booth, and there's a little bench on it, too. It's a pretty nice setup they made here.
Marr also used a microcassette recorder to tape daily life in Iraq. Here's his account of what it was like to instruct a battalion of soldiers whose language he didn't understand.
I would think about how these guys grew up in the Middle East, and the Middle East is just the most war-torn region you could think about, you could read about, you could hear about. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, these guys have seen more blood and guts and glory and death and sorrow than I can ever imagine. And here I'm going to walk into their midst, a kid from New York City who's like lived in the lap of luxury as far as I'm concerned. And here these people, I'm going to go walk up to them and tell them what to do, tell them what's what, you know, talk to them like I have some sort of authority.
Did you see in the 10 seconds I was standing there, the ants were all the way up my leg?
So, of course, that's kind of an intimidating thought. If you let that eat you up, it'd stop you in your tracks and you wouldn't be able to do anything.
I've had ants all over.
So how did I overcome that? I said, well, I'll wait and see. Maybe they aren't, you know, that way. And sure, you know, you start talking with some of them have lived horrible lives. And on the other hand, there's guys that sort of grew up, they learned how to be comfortable, and they're not used to being held responsible for anything they do. There's a lot of uneducated people. And they look up to people who are offering them help, and they say, yeah, sure, help us. We'd have them go ahead and practice the tactics or whatever it was that we were teaching them.
You just finished the first Iraqi master fitness class. What are you going to do now?
Then they'd go out to the field because there was a lot of fighting going on, and this unit was already pretty functional, operational. That surprised me, I have to say. We hit the ground, and we were working right away.
So it's the ING again.
It's the enemy out there shooting at us. Bombs going off and close calls happening.
Yeah, hey, is that him? Someone shooting a pistol. Him? Shoot!
I know there's two different ways to approach new situations. One is to watch other people and ask them questions a lot and try and get their help and figure out how the best way to do the job is. And the other way is to walk into the situation and just throw your chest out and start bossing people around and kicking things over and pretending that you know exactly what you're doing and just drive on. And I chose the latter, and I'm glad I did because it seemed to work out pretty good. So I just pretended I knew what I was doing. And after a while, I got the hang of what I really wanted to put together and worked out fine.
Okay. You know what cannon fodder is?
Was it anything?
Fodder means like to feed. You feed animals fodder, right?
Yeah.
We feed them fodder. But what do you feed cannons?
Cannon for the bombs?
Yeah. What do you feed bombs? You feed them jundis.
Jundis.
Right?
Yes.
So jundis are just food for the bombs.
Cannon fodder. Yeah.
Which is horrible. It's no way to go through life. It's being food for bombs.
Maybe.
But when they don't want to search cars, mm-hmm, and they don't want to do their job, we just call them food for bomb, right?
Yes.
They'll walk around without a helmet on, without the flak vest, without the bulletproof plates. They'll stand out in front of a car that they don't know whether it's good or bad, and they'll just expect that everything's going to be fine. And sooner or later, it happens. And lots of them die. It's like, well, of course you died. You wouldn't get down, you know. You wouldn't get your weapon ready. You were doing what I told you over and over and over. Don't do these things when you're on patrol. And it makes you mad. And it's frustrating, and it's kind of sad because, you know, these guys have families. I cried the first time someone was killed. It was about 4:30 in the morning. It was dark. And we passed by a spot that we had talked about before. It looked like a good ambush spot for the enemy. And they opened up with a RPG and machine gun, which is a rocket-propelled grenade. And they killed the gunner. And the other two soldiers sitting in the back, one of them lost a leg, one of them lost an arm. And I thought, oh, no. Just looking at the ligaments sticking out and blood everywhere. And soldiers who had never seen anything like this, the Iraqis, they started screaming and renting their clothes and running in circles, you know, and you had to grab and say, hey, you know, it's all right. You're in one piece. We got to get out of here now. We got to pack up our wounded and see if we can't get hold of the enemy.
What unit? They call
the best thing I could do at that time was set the example, because I knew whatever I do is what they'll do. You can go to any of these checkpoints. The Americans pull up. If they take their helmets off, all the Iraqis take their helmets off. Whatever we do, they'll do, because they look to us.
Hey, it's 6:30 p.m. We're rolling back to our FOB. And I'm watching a vehicle get in line for the checkpoint, and that's a good thing. And I said I'd sit in the hatch and gun, because it's not fair to make the EMs do it all the time.
I remember zipping up the body bag, and just thinking to yourself, you know, 3 months ago I was sitting in my kitchen in Woodside drinking a cup of coffee.
Like I say it every time we roll into the gate.
We made it!
Dan Marr returned from Iraq in the fall of last year and now is back with the New York City Police Department. Tomorrow on the program, tune in to hear his reflections on coming home. Our story was produced by Marianne McCune from member station WNYC.